Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. Our colleagues at Gothamist capture the culture and the stories of New York City, and they come and join me every Thursday. Editorial Director Jen Carlson is here. Ben Yak is culture editor for the site, along with editor Liz Kinn and writer Claire Lampin. So Liz, we're going to start with you. The headline of this piece is A Field Guide to Weapons of Hostile Architecture in New York City.
Right. It sounds scary.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah.
So what qualifies as hostile architecture?
So it's actually a lot of things that you probably see on an everyday basis, but maybe you haven't thought that much about. One thing, for instance, is an armrest. When is an armrest more than just an armrest? And I'm not talking about the armrests at the two ends of a bench, but all the armrests that have been popping up inside benches. And you see them in subway stations,
yeah.
You see them in public plazas. So what is that about? I mean, are they really there to serve a function as an armrest? Or, as a lot of homeless advocates have argued, are they there to prevent homeless people from lying down?
So has there been just a recent recognition of it around the city? Or is it, how did this article come to be?
So I think that there's always been a conversation about the city not having enough seating.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a conversation that's gone on, like, there was a very famous urban planner named William White who wrote and studied this precise issue in New York during the early 70s. But I think now, because of all the competing demands for public spaces, and I think there's also a greater appreciation, too, for how public spaces are designed, that people are really getting into this idea of who is this for and who's being excluded from these public spaces, and are they really truly free and open for everyone?
It's this idea, somebody in your piece, they called it the war on sitting.
Right, right.
And Hudson Yards is a...
Right.
Has hostile architecture. Tell me about what's going on at Hudson Yards.
Well, I think that it's been written about that there's really not enough seating there, and especially within the vessel, there's an explicit rule that there's no sitting. You can't sit on the staircases, and it's a long climb for a lot of people who want to do it. And there was this one great article in Curbed where the writer just wrote about how exhausting it was to be in Hudson Yards and not have a place to sit. And what does that mean? That is it that they're just trying to hustle you out of there?
We have heard from some readers as well that they had tried to sit, especially when it first opened, and they were shooed away by the guards when
right.
they were just sitting after walking on the vessel.
Right. Like all these ledges in plazas, there's a lot. These are what they call privately owned public spaces. So technically, they're owned by the developer.
Privately owned public spaces.
Right. So this is a policy that was developed in the 1960s in New York City. And it basically allows developers added density in exchange for creating a public space. But they still own the public space and they still operate it. So you might imagine that a private property owner might want to exert a little bit more control over that space. And you see something like that happening in Hudson Yards.
Thank you so much, Liz. Claire, New York City park visitors warned about hangry squirrels out for blood. This is the stuff of urban nightmares. Hangry squirrels. I'm not a fan of squirrels. Not that I would ever hurt one. But hangry squirrels? Where are these hangry squirrels? So I can steer clear.
They are primarily in Rockefeller Park, so in Battery Park City. And I'm not sure why so many of these squirrel attacks have clustered there, nor am I sure how many we've seen so far. City officials didn't say. But yes, they are hangry and they want your snacks.
walk me through this. Is it that people are feeding them and then they're coming back and demanding more where they're shaking their little squirrel fists? Or is it people are leaving food out and they've become accustomed to it? What's been going on?
So city officials are blaming it on people feeding the squirrels. I imagine that it's also human food in overflowing trash cans, like probably throughout most of the city. But the main issue right now seems to be that people have been feeding them. And that makes them feel entitled to your human food. So even if you're not eating, if you're wheeling a stroller, perhaps, jump in there and see what you've got.
So have people been bitten?
There have been bites and scratches, yes.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
One of my favorite aspects of this is that, as scary as this is, it's near impossible to find a scary photo of a squirrel. Like the photo you used on the story is just adorable.
No, he's so brawny. Look at him.
He's a little man standing up.
Menacing.
Have city officials given us any guidelines on what we should do? Should we be around a hangry squirrel? Just walk away. Yeah.
Do not approach the hangry squirrel.
I think the main guideline right now is please stop feeding them, and also stop feeding other wildlife, because it's sort of like putting out, like giving one animal your breakfast sandwich means basically just putting it out there for everyone. So stop feeding them. And if a squirrel's running at you, I personally would say you go the opposite direction, but that's not the city. That's just me.
That's why I learned when I was in Greece recently, and I had to look about boars, boar attacks, mm-hmm. and there's only two things you can do to avoid a boar attack. One is, and I feel like this applies to squirrels as well, you sidestep, mm-hmm. so it charges at you and you just move out of the way, or you climb a tree. That's it.
The second part doesn't work with squirrels, Ben. Yeah.
I know.
Squirrels live in trees.
You're right, actually. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, squirrels have the advantage there.
All right, let's go on to something else menacing us. This is you, Ben. Gigantic praying mantis stalks subway searching for brains to eat. I'm not leaving the studio today.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff crawling around New York City right now.
What is happening? A giant praying mantis?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So this is unusual in New York. It happens like once every couple of years, one of these ginormous ones. These are not like the little cute ones you might think of. These are like bigger than your hand, probably bigger than two hands, it looks like, from the one that was seen this week. But this was a city council member, Keith Powers, found this little guy on a 6 train this week. And he was like, oh my God, I've never seen a creature this big on the subway, I guess, except for maybe like some of the giant rats that, you know, form together. But people were a little freaked out. And obviously you would think, it's an insect. How harmful can it be? Well, let me tell you, because I looked it up. And it turns out scientists are saying that praying mantises have started sucking the brains of birds. They have started attacking birds from their heads and literally sucking their heads out. And there are photos and perhaps even videos to prove that this is out there. And now I am not a fan of mantises.
As if we don't have enough to worry about in the city, there are now zombie praying mantises lurking about in the MTA.
100% accurate. There is not a single thing there that is hyperbolic.
To the point about hangry squirrels. Any suggestions what one should do should you encounter this mantis?
Well, as I said, you should sidestep. That's the first thing. And second, try to climb a tree. Now, this is a little problematic on the subway.
It is.
But
that's where the birds are, too.
Yeah.
Wait, Ben, can they jump?
Yeah, they can jump. But I don't know if they can jump that high.
I know. If they're as big as two hands, their legs are going to be pretty long. Especially full extension.
Very long. Though you would think you could maybe cripple the legs more easily if push comes to shove.
Everybody, that's Ben Yakis who said that. Right to Ben Yakis.
I'm not advocating for violence against praying mantises, because they do eat a lot of mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. They are good for that. But I'm not saying that we should necessarily befriend them.
Gotcha. We're going to end on a high note with Jen Carlson. Jen, bring us back up. First statue featuring real women in Central Park will be redesigned to include Sojourner Truth. All right, we had to get to this point. What happened that we had to get to this point that it will include Sojourner Truth?
So last year, the Monumental Women's Statue Fund announced that they were going to bring the first statue portraying real women to Central Park, and it was going to feature Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And of course, the suffrage movement was much larger than those two women. Those two women happened to edit a 6th edition thing called like the History of Women's Suffrage, and they kind of edited out a lot of the people, and had they kind of, you know, made themselves the center of this whole movement. So they had a scroll in the statue that was designed, that they're holding, and it featured 22 women, other women, who had made significant contributions. And one of those women was Sojourner Truth. And when they kind of presented this design last year, there was a lot of obvious criticism that this was only two white women being portrayed. Gloria Steinem said, it's not only that, it's not enough, it's that it looks like these other two women are standing on this scroll and on the names of these other women who are like listed on this scroll. So after months of backlash, they finally said, we're going to redesign it and we're going to include Sojourner Truth.
I like that the story evolved. A lot of people will always say like, look, they caved. But you know what? Rethought, redesign, replan.
Mm-hmm.
I say thumbs up. That's just my opinion.
Yes.
When do we have an idea when the statue's going up?
Yes. I believe.
I'm going to put you on the spot there. Sorry.
let me see. 2020, maybe?
That would sound good. 100 years, women getting the right to vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. Team Gothamist, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After the break, we'll take a look back at the birth of Napster 20 years ago and how it changed the way we listen to music. More after the break.